Thank you, Alan. Actually, I prepared this sermon with the idea that Mike and Cheryl would be here and the kids. And I thought, well, should I bag the sermon? And then I thought, well, you know, the Lord knows. He knew whether Cheryl and Mike would be here this morning. And maybe this sermon is really for you. So, with that in mind, I'm going to use for a scripture one that you have heard many, many, many times. In fact, it's probably one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible. And the reason I chose this was because I was thinking about the little ones and what they could take away from here. And I saw the stuff that Jewel had prepared for them. I had printed out a bunch of coloring pictures, and I gave them to her, and the ones that she picked out went right along with the sermon I was to deliver. I'm going to start, and I'll probably read most of the chapter. It's chapter 3 of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a very true statement. Most of us here have entered into the waters of baptism. And I got to thinking about what the church represents and what we can do and what on our own and what we have to have the church for. You know, we can have faith on our own. Some people say that faith is a gift from God. But we must have faith. The second is we must repent. We can do that on our own. We don't have to have anyone else to do that. We can repent. The next thing is baptism, what Christ was talking about here. Baptism. Can we do that on our own, or do we need something else? Well, we need the church. We need a minister that's called and ordained by God before we can be baptized. But we can have that desire to become baptized. The laying on of hands. Can we do that on our own? No, we have to have the church, and we have to have a minister called of God to lay hands on us for the reception of the Holy Ghost. Another one that we can think about, an ordinance of the church, is administration. Can we administer to ourselves? It's not what James says. James says, call for the elders of the church. So we need the church and we need the elders so that we can be administered to for the healing of the sick. And it says also in that that we heal the sick, but it also says that if they've committed any sin, that it would be forgiven them. So we do need ordained elders or ordained ministry, mainly elders, or especially elders, to administer to us. And they're part of the Bible says that an elder, an apostle, is an elder. So apostles can ordain, can administer. But let's go on with this. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I have said unto you, unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it is, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it came, whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and yet, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, the part of the scriptures that most people hear and know of John 3:16. Isn't that correct? Isn't that the most talked about scripture throughout the Christian world? I have a little story. The author is unknown, but I'd like to read it to you. A little boy was selling newspapers on the corner street where the people were going in and out of the cold. The little boy was cold himself, that he wasn't really trying to sell many papers. He walked up to a policeman nearby and said, "Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm place to sleep tonight, would you? You see, I sleep in a box up around the corner there and down the alley, and it's awfully cold. In here for tonight, sure would be nice to have a warm place to stay." The policeman looked down at the little boy and said, "You go down the street to the big white house and you knock on the door. When they come to the door, you just say, John 3:16, and they will let you in." And he did, and so he did. He walked up the steps and knocked on the door, and a lady answered, and he looked up and said, "John 3:16." The lady said, "Come in. Come on in, son." She took him in and set him down in a split-bottom rocker in front of a great big old fireplace. And she went off. And the boy sat there for a while and thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm." Later, she came back and asked him, "Are you hungry?" He said, "Well, just a little. I haven't eaten in a couple of days, and I guess I could stand to a little bit of food." The lady took him in the kitchen and set him down to the table full of wonderful food. He ate until he couldn't eat any more. And then he thought to himself, "John 3:16. Boy, I sure don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy full." She took him upstairs to the bathroom, to a huge bathtub, filled it with warm water, and he sat there and soaked for a while. As he soaked, he thought to himself, "John 3:16. I sure don't understand it, but it sure makes a dirty boy clean." I've not had a bath and a real bath in my whole life. The only bath I ever had was when I stood in front of that big old fire hydrant as they flushed it out. The lady came in and got him, took him into a room, tucked him into a big old feather bed, pulled the covers around his neck, kissed him goodnight. Turned out the lights, and as he lay there in the darkness, he looked out the window at the snow coming down on a cold night. He thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a tired boy rested." The next morning, the lady came back up and took him down again to the same big table full of food. After he ate, she took him back to the same big old split-bottom rocker in front of the fireplace and picked up a big old Bible. She sat down in front of him and looked into his young face. "Do you understand John 3:16?" she asked. He replied, "No, ma'am, I don't. The first time I ever heard it was the night when the policeman told me to use it She opened the Bible to John 3:16 and began to explain it to him about Jesus. Right there in front of that big old fireplace, he gave his heart and life to Jesus. He sat there through and thought, John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a lost boy feel safe. I know I have to confess I don't understand it either. How God was willing to send his son to die for me. How Jesus would agree to do such a thing. I don't understand the agony of the Father and every angel in heaven as they watch Jesus suffer and die. I don't understand the intense love for me that kept Jesus on the cross till the end. I don't understand it, but it sure makes life worth living. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said in another part of the scriptures, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. If you're not ashamed to do this, please share this message with others. And that's what I'm sharing with you this morning. I don't understand how God could send his son to die for us. And I don't understand how Jesus could hang on that cross, be scourged, and hang on that cross. I don't understand, but it sure makes a lost boy feel safe. And as I read that, I thought of another scripture that is very dear to me. And I know I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it again. Even though you might have heard it, maybe the Spirit will give it to you in a little different way and you'll understand something that would be important to you. It's when Jesus was talking with Peter. Simon Peter went up.
What are you
reading? Oh, I'm sorry. John 21. Starting with... Well, I'm going to start with the 10th verse. Jesus saith unto him, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to a handful to land full of great fishes. And 153. And for all there were too many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto him, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, you shall stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This he spake, signifying by that, by what doth he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And he says this unto you each time. Lovest thou me more than these? You know, we read another part of the where Peter denied Christ how many times? Three times. And this time, he says he loves Christ three times. And Christ gave him a job to do. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. That has a very significant meaning to me. Because if you ever have heard the voice of God, it will stick with you the rest of your life. And you'll testify of it the rest of your life. I know my brother, a couple of years ago, was called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Could he deny it? No, he can't deny it, because the Spirit spoke to his heart and to his mind. Has the Spirit ever spoken to you? Do you know what language the Spirit speaks to you in? Does he call you by a still small voice? Does he speak to you as a feeling, as you read the scriptures or as you sing a song? There's a lot of inspiration in singing a song. There's a lot of inspiration by reading the scriptures. And this is what my brother and I are trying to let you understand, is that you need to read the scriptures daily. become so acquainted with them that when Jesus asks you, "Lovest thou me more than these?" you can answer as Peter did, "Yea, Lord, you know I love thee." And if he has to ask you again and again, you can answer, "Yea. Yea, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Then do this for me," he says. "Feed my lambs." That's what you mothers did when you brought children into the world. You fed the lambs. That's what we try to do if we have young people in the services. As we look at them and say, "You know, Christ is really alive. He lives today. He lives in the hearts of each one of us. And we need to show them by example, by feeding his lambs." Then, as the lambs grow a little bit older, he saith unto us again, "Feed my sheep." My sheep are out there in the world. They're lost. And they can't find their way back. So feed my sheep. Call them in. As we got together last night, you know, that is a call. We called out for some young people to come into the Harvest Fest because we wanted to feed them, not only with physical food, but we want to feed them spiritual food that they'll gain and grow stronger from it. You know, Jesus, in an earlier part of John, he talked about being the bread of life. "Not that any man hath seen the Father save me, which is of God." This is the sixth chapter of John, the bread of life sermon. "Not any man has seen the Father save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." Did I tell you the verse on that? I didn't, did I? John 6, and it was 46 through 51. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. That is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Jesus is that bread. "I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give him, will give, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He's our friend. He's probably our dearest and closest friend. Although we have friends in the gospel, Jesus is our closest friend. I hope that reading John 3:16 has meant something to you this morning. For when we read the scriptures and we read about God giving his son for the world, and then Jesus giving his life for you and for me. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Christ. I believe in the church. And I believe in God the Father. And as this little boy, are you cold? There's nothing like being warmed by the arms of Jesus Christ. Are you hungry? We all are hungry. We can take food, the food of man, and yes, we'll be hungry again. But we eat of the bread of life and we will never hunger again. Are we dirty? Do we need a bath? I invite you to be bathed by the Spirit. Be bathed by water. And you'll get dirty again. But if you're truly bathed by the Spirit, you have no desire to get dirty again. And as the little boy says, John 3:16, I sure don't understand it, but it sure makes a lost boy, a hungry boy, a tired boy, a dirty boy feel good. So the next time you want to get your scriptures out, turn to John 3:16. I sure don't understand it. I don't understand how God can give his son. And I don't understand how the son can give his life. I don't understand it. But it sure makes a lost person feel safe. Thank you.
I'm not trying to get political, but here a man, they say, did something 36 years ago, and they're wanting to persecute him today because what he did 36 years ago. Did he do it? Did he not do it? I don't know. I wasn't there. There's two people that actually know, him and her and God. And so God doesn't hold these things against us for 36 years and then brings them up. He doesn't say, well, Alan, now 36 years ago or 40 years ago, you did this or thus and you tuck some innocent soul and got him in your car and got to drinking and whatever, caused him to sin. God doesn't operate that way, but mankind does. We want to go back in people's lives and hold against them something that they had did that was sinful, that was unrighteous, that was a transgression, whatever it might be, and want to bring those accusations up. That's the humanness in us. Verse 13. And we can consider this as a parent. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Here's that fear again, or I will say respect there again. And you know, as a parent, when you was bringing up your children, you know, they did something wrong and boy, I'm going to get a switch and I'm going to really lay it on them. And you probably did, and they probably need it. But did you hold that against them for the rest of their life? Absolutely not. You know, you forgot it, and let's go on to the next time. If they need chastisement again later about something else, that's fine. I think that we need to get back to chastising our children. But the world don't see it that way. And that's the way the Father works. That's the way God works. Just because we made a mistake 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, doesn't mean that God's up there and got it on a sheet. Now let's look back here, Alan. As I said a while ago, 40 years ago you did this and that wasn't good. And so I'm going to punish you for it today. God does not operate that way. He doesn't. Verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days, and this is a scripture that I've used many times in funeral services, because we look at people's lives and whether they live 50 years or whether they live 100 years, that is actually, when you come to the end of that time, it's just really a short time. I've been alive for 72 years, almost 73. Now, if I told you, give you 73 years down the road, you think, boy, that's a long time. Wow, I got to wait 73 years to get what you're going to give me? Wow, that's forever. But if you look back and say, well, 73 years was just a blink of an eye. It was just yesterday that I was just a young fella. Here, 73 years later, excuse me, 73 years later, I'm old, and it's only been a short span of time. So there's the difference, looking back or looking forward. And that's what this scripture here addresses, the frame of man and the aspect of man. Because it says, as for man, in verse 15, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And we know that if we plant shrubbery, or not necessarily shrubbery, but we plant a flower, we know that someday that flower is going to be gone. And that's the comparison that this scripture is making here. Verse 16, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. There's that word fear again. And his righteousness unto children's children. So that goes on forever and ever. But listen closely to verse 18. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You know, we meet every month to partake of the sacrament, and it's to remember that covenant that we have made with the Lord in the waters of baptism and promised to him that we would keep his commandments. And we have to be reminded of that, because it says in the scriptures to meet together oft to partake of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. So we have to be reminded of that from time to time. We have to be reminded that we are supposed to keep God's commandments. We have to be reminded from time to time, almost every week, what are God's commandments and what have I done to not obey God's commandments? What am I doing that is against and opposed to God's commandments? And we need that, like I said a few Sundays ago, through the foolishness of preaching. But not only through the foolishness of preaching, on our Thursday night study class and prayer service, slash prayer service that we have, to remind us that we need to serve God. When we get up of a morning, do we take time to read the words that God has left us so that we will know and understand what his word means and how we can use it in our life? We need to search the scriptures daily. And that's my opinion and my thinking. Verse 19, let me read 18 again. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Not just remember them, but to remember to do them. What is it James says? To be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. And this is about a wind-up. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And this is a scripture that I was referring to in Sunday school, that even the angels in heaven have a right to make choices. Just because they're in heaven, now people will take what I'm about to say and say, well, see there, if you get to heaven, you can still be kicked out. No, I can find you a lot of scriptures that goes against that. You can't be kicked out. But I'm talking about the angels and how a third of them chose not to follow God. They got deceived. They got whatever happened to them. I don't know. But they chose not to follow God. They chose to follow Satan, and how deceptive Satan was when he came down to the Garden of Eden, and how he deceived Eve, and then Eve went on to deceive the man, Adam. So he can be very deceptive. And that's why we have said, I said we, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about Larry, and I've heard others do the same thing. We need to pray for discernment. I was talking to Adam Porter yesterday on the phone, and he said the same thing. We was talking about some stuff, and he said, you know, we need to pray for discernment. And we was talking about this thing that's taken place that came up out of Brazil is what we were discussing, and some other things. I mainly called him about his study class that he had. And let me just, yeah, let me pause here just a second, because I want to tell you about this, because I think it's important to look for this. Tuesday night, they have a internet study class. You can either get on Skype and participate, or you can just sit and listen on the internet, and we sit and listen. But anyhow, Adam Porter had a topic on there. I can't remember what the how it was phrased, but it was a topic about China and a finding that they have found in China. And it was the scriptures and their characters. It was really amazing. The characters that they wrote, the Chinese, told the story of Genesis. And they found this, he didn't really say where, but 40-some years ago when our kids was little, Zern and I had on out the farm, we had on a program, a kids program, and they was talking about, they found this place in China, and it was a huge room. They didn't give the dimensions, they just said it was a huge room, and it was locked and sealed. Well, they unlocked it and unsealed that room, and they got in there, and they opened that, and they got to examining those papers or books. I don't remember the exact detail. Scrolls, okay. And they was Christian. Well, they was scriptural, I'll put it that way, because Adam said, you know, I don't know how many of them actually was Christ, because they was before Christ, but they were religious scrolls, and it told the story about Adam and Eve, told the story that he showed us at that short time about the ark and Noah and his people. And I thought, wow, that was amazing. That's what we heard 40 years ago on that program that they found, and they didn't want it out, so they sealed it back up. And we listened for over these years to wait and hear about these scrolls and things that will come forth. Here they are. And Adam brought some of those things out. And he got it from a book. I don't remember the name of the book, but I thought it was very interesting. And that's why I called him, to let him know my testimony, our testimony of what we saw 40 years ago. So anyhow, and Adam Porter said to tell everybody hello. So hello from Adam. And I told him to tell everybody hello for us in Bradley, and he said he definitely would. Let's go to 20 again. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. That's the thing that we need to do. We need to be among those angels that hear or who keep his commandments, God's commandments, and hearken unto the voice of his word. 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. And I hope that we in the Church of Christ are his ministers that are still doing God's pleasures by preaching the gospel. You know, Larry and I have a charge. We're not your ruler, but we have a charge to feed the sheep, just like Christ said to Peter years ago, Peter, do you love me? You know the scripture, and he said, yes, Lord. And what did he say to Peter? Feed my sheep. That's what Larry and I try to do when we bring a sermon to you or a study class to you or just some sound advice to you. We are trying to lead the, you may be small, but listen, every single soul is important to God and in the kingdom of God. So you're important to him. He loves you and he cares for you. So that's why he has this foolishness of preaching that Larry and I do. And that's why we chastise one another, if need be. But at the same time, we need to bless and to praise one another. But most of all, we need to bless and praise God. Last verse. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And those are the words that David was prompted to pen. Like I said, the bad news is I could bring you those other scriptures that I have, but we won't do that at this time. We'll use it for another sermon sometime on down the road, maybe, depending on what the Lord brings to us. And I know what I do, and I just feel confident that I know what Larry does. When we are to preach, we pray about it. We ask God, what do you want for us to present to our little group here? Because we are responsible, he and I, to bring to you these messages to keep us obeying God's commandments and to present the sacrament to you to keep God's covenant that you have made with him. That's our responsibility. And if we don't do it, we will answer for that one day when we stand at the judgment. So you are the sheep, and we're trying to lead you, not drive you. We're trying to lead you. Anybody that has, and it amazes me of how Christ did, anybody that has dealt with sheep, you don't drive sheep. If you drive sheep, they're going to go here and there and everywhere. You lead them. And that's what the scriptures tells us to do, is to lead the sheep by good example and by good words. So I thank you. I thank Larry for his prayers. I hope that you feel as strongly as I do that the Lord led me to these things to remind us that when we sin, God's not up in heaven punishing us with a headache or with a backache or with a whatever that we might have because we did wrong. He doesn't operate that way. If we don't repent of that sin, yes, someday we're going to answer for that. But he's not going to cause all these things to come upon us because we are sinners. Scriptures tells us that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So I'm going to shut up and turn off the microphone over here and turn it over to Larry. And God bless us.
Page 708. And Moroni says, behold, speaking to the Gentiles, speaking to us today, behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shown you unto me, and I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. And there are none, save a few only, which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying, and strifes, and malice, and persecutions, and all manner of iniquities. I hope that we are among the few that do not lift ourselves up in the pride of our hearts, but that desire to follow after the Lord's commandments. I'm going to go over to page 771. This is the book of Moroni, chapter 8. Moroni, chapter 8, on page 771. This is Mormon speaking to his son Moroni, prior to the extinction or the destruction of the Nephites. I'm going to start with verse 30. Mormon speaking to his son Moroni, starting with verse 30. Behold, my son, I will write unto you again, if I go not out soon against the Lamanites. Behold, the pride of this nation, or the people of the Nephites, hath proven their destruction, except they should repent. Pray for them, my son, that repentance may come unto them. But behold, I fear lest the Spirit hath ceased striving with them. In this part of the land they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which cometh from God, and they are denying the Holy Ghost. I think that bears repeating as we think of our nation today. In this part of the land, they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which cometh from God, and they are denying the Holy Ghost. And after rejecting so great a knowledge, my son, they must perish soon, unto the fulfilling of the prophecies which were spoken by the prophets, as well as the words of our Savior himself. Farewell, my son, until I shall write unto you, or shall meet you again. Amen. One other short reading on the following page, page 772, Moroni chapter 9, verses 3-6. This is Mormon continuing to speak to his son Moroni, starting with verse 3. And now behold, my son, I fear lest the Lamanites shall destroy this people, for they do not repent, and Satan stirreth them up continually to anger one with another. Behold, I am laboring with them continually, and when I speak the word of God with sharpness, they tremble in anger against me. And when I use no sharpness, they harden their hearts against it. Wherefore, I fear lest the Spirit of the Lord hath ceased striving with them. For so exceedingly do they anger that it seemeth me that they have no fear of death, and they have lost their love one towards another. They have lost their love one towards another, and they thirst after blood and revenge continually. I think this is the most important. This last verse is the most important to us, us as servants and us as believers, members of this Church of Christ. And now, my beloved son, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently. For if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. No matter how bad or how sinful things become, we have a commandment to labor with the people, to strive to bring people to repentance, to bring to them this gospel of the Lord in its purity. I just wanted to, I know you've probably been talking here in this local about this Brazilian situation, this second invitation to Brazil, the things that are coming out of Brazil. And I don't really have a lot to say about that. I know that Brother Joseph is heavily involved in this work in Brazil. I just want to, Brother Joe, maybe I've said this here before, I'm not sure, but the last time I heard Brother Joe Smith preach, it was here at Collins. I believe it was maybe a rally. Brother Joe preached, and he always he used a line that I've always remembered. It's not in the scriptures, but he in line with what he was giving his sermon about, he concluded by saying that, brothers and sisters, we are all called to be fruit inspectors. I always thought that was kind of a cute, we're called to be fruit inspectors. And yet, you know, from what I'm hearing from Brother Joe now, I fear that he is calling us to not inspect his fruit, but to accept what is being said at face value, and we're being urged to get behind the testimony of Brother Joe and others. And my personal opinion is I want to be a fruit inspector. If there's something that's coming out of this work in Brazil, I'm not ready right now to say it's a big phony. I know it is. I don't believe it. It's not true. And I'm not ready to say that it's of the Lord either. I want to see if there's any fruit that comes out of this. We all know that sealed portion of the Book of Mormon is going to come forth. It is going to come forth. I'm not sure whether this is that work or not. But if something comes out of this, if there's a translation that comes out of it, I want to be a fruit inspector. I want to pray about it. I want to read what comes out of it. I want to pray about it and ask the Lord for discernment about it. I'm not ready to make a judgment right now. I don't know. Many people have. Many people have made a firm judgment at this point on one side or the other. I would urge you not to do that, but to be fruit inspectors when we see what the fruit is. So I thank you. I thank you for your kind attention as usual, and it's wonderful to be with you today, and may God bless us all in the days ahead.
Shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. How many of you ever had a calf in the stall? I don't have very many farmers. Thank you, Brother Yates.
Well, this way, I brought up on the farm.
Right. So what do you have to do? If you got a calf in the stall, you're going to have to take care of them, or what's going to happen? You're going to starve to death, die of thirst, or whatever. That calf is totally dependent upon you feeding him and watering him and taking care of him. Well, that's what the Lord says we're going to be. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That means God's going to take care of us. Now, Joy and I had a conversation similar to what Mike talked about earlier today about him and Cheryl. We're talking maybe a different approach to it, but we're talking about, it wasn't about something to do away with all our electronics, but just what would happen if the government all collapsed tomorrow and there was no food in the grocery store.